I'm Marianne Kolbasek-McGee, Executive Editor at Information Security Media Group. Today I'm at the HealthSec Conference in Boston speaking with Karen Haber-Koss, who is Chief Privacy Officer at UChicago Medicine. Welcome, Karen.
Thank you, Marianne, for having me.
Thank you for joining us. So, Karen, for starters, tell us a little bit about UChicago Medicine and what you're responsible for as Chief Privacy Officer.
Yeah, the University of Chicago Medicine is an academic medical institution. We have a threefold mission of clinical care, patient clinical care, teaching and education, and then, of course, research, human subjects research. And along those lines, we have a flagship academic medical center in Chicago. We have affiliates. We have a community health and hospital division, an ACO, so a number of other affiliated entities with regard to the medical center. So I'm the chief privacy officer for the entire health system, all parts that support the healthcare function, and I'm responsible for the day-to-day operations and the strategy of privacy across the entire health system, patients, employees, consumers, research subjects.
So you're speaking here at the conference on a panel about streamlining regulatory compliance. What are some of the top issues that you're dealing with these days, particularly regarding how privacy and security should be working together to mitigate risk while also complying with HIPAA and all those other regulations?
Yeah, this is kind of a complex question, I think. And so most people, when they think of healthcare, obviously think of HIPAA. And so there are privacy rules, security rules, breach notification rules. Now they've just recently come out with the new reproductive health services update. So those things are very key. We need to obviously make sure we're following those rules. But where the complexity, I think, comes in, especially in larger health systems, is that we need to begin to think about not just HIPAA. And so there are a patchwork of state regulations, state laws that are being passed, some on the books already, some in committee being contemplated. And there is this discussion now of a potential federal privacy law, which they've attempted to do in the past and haven't quite made it all the way through. And so those things are actually really important because health systems usually have patients, but they also have employees. So they have employee data, HR type data that they need to keep secure and private. There are things that I call consumer level data. So those are folks who might just be trying to figure out what your system does or get general information, but may never become an employee, may never become a patient, may never participate in research if your company does that. And so then there's also rules related to research subjects and NIH funding and NIMH funding. And so those kinds of things are really important, including international laws. So especially in the research space, when there's a lot of collaboration going on with companies that are overseas and data is then being passed overseas. So this all adds to the complexity of the regulations that need to be followed, and they're ever changing. So this is a field where nothing stays the same, nothing is static. And so those things require a keen eye. In terms of privacy and security working together, the biggest thing that I talk about in terms of strategy are team dynamics. So how the teams interact with each other. They don't necessarily have to be best friends with each other, but there has to be some working relationship. There has to be some level of trust between the teams. And there has to be a way for the teams to understand when the other needs to be engaged, which is almost always together at the same time. There are very few incidents that happen solely on the privacy side, very few incidents that happen solely on the security side. Most things that are especially impactful are going to involve both teams. And so it's going to require, in advance of something happening, knowing when to engage. And it's usually as soon as possible.
So you kind of mentioned this. On top of the HIPAA privacy rule, we have a patchwork of state privacy laws, but so far no national data privacy legislation. How does that complicate the work you do and the work that your privacy team handles?
that certainly makes it very complex. I think that especially in health systems or companies that are working in healthcare that are global and have employees in multiple states, remote work is very big. And so not having a federal privacy law can be challenging because you're certainly tracking to HIPAA. And my view is really most people are already tracking to HIPAA. This is not new. It's been around for quite some time. And I sort of say, you know, tongue in cheek, if you're not tracking to HIPAA yet, you have a whole different issue that you should be addressing. But in terms of like employees or research data or consumer level data, that's really where the state laws are coming into play. And in some cases, they would say health data, if you are in compliance with HIPAA, the state law would say then you're in compliance with that state law. But it doesn't typically cover the data that you have for employees. That's not HIPAA data. That's usually state level data or individuals coming to your website who may never become a patient. That would be consumer level data. And in other healthcare situations, when it's not an actual covered entity, you know, there are now FTC regulations. The FTC has been very much into enforcement where, you know, where HHS and OCR haven't been. And so really need to be able to track to all potential laws. And the only way to do that is to embed yourself within the business. And so you have to understand who are all the internal business owners, what is the work they're doing, what kind of data do they have, how does it flow in and out of your organization. And that's really the only way to get a handle on what people are doing. Otherwise, people in the business will sign contracts out of band, and you won't know that they've engaged with vendors to collect certain other types of state-regulated or other international-regulated type data.
So, Karen, as you know, we've seen some pretty significant attacks already this year. Change Healthcare, of course, which is a critical third party to many healthcare sector entities. But we also see many attacks directly on hospitals, doctor practices, clinics, and others. What's keeping you up at night these days as you look at the healthcare sector, the threat landscape, and especially as this all pertains to data privacy and why?
So Change has really brought about something for most of us I think we never considered before. So we all knew that we engaged with third parties. We all are certainly aware under things, for example, like the Cures Act that really pushed for interoperability, making sure that data can seamlessly flow in between companies and organizations, that patients can have access, full access to their data. But of course, this has opened up a whole new world of risk that I don't know people might have considered Change before. So, you know, while people may have contracts with Change, they didn't quite understand the level at which Change was operating. And I don't think, so you asked me what keeps me up at night. Change isn't very likely our only vendor or interoperability partner that would potentially have this type of effect. And so what keeps me up is that I may not know who those are. So while in my role, I'm certainly involved in all of the contracting that goes on in my organization, I don't always know the criticality of the vendor and how much data over time we may have given to that company. And so when something happens, a large-scale cyber attack, it takes time to understand the full impact, because you don't know the day-to-day business operations always when you sign a contract or you engage with interoperability. So I think there are positives to this type of interoperability. It certainly helps patient care, certainly helps research, all of those important endeavors. But it also adds this layer of risk that I don't think many of us considered to the extent to which it was before. So we all do vendor risk assessments. We all have vendor risk programs, I think. But understanding really who those critical third parties are that you're engaging with, it's not really enough to just have a contract in place. You really have to get down with the business and understand.
And how closely do you work with the security team? Are you, you know, hand in hand, or, you know, certain circumstances you deal with them more so than others? Do they come to you? What is the dynamic like?
University of Chicago, we work fairly hand in hand. And so we have a process that's been working over time. So all vendors really start and finish through our supply chain or our procurement process. And through that, there's a number of different engagements that happen. So we engage with the business, both privacy and security, and legal and compliance and supply chain to understand what they're trying to accomplish with this vendor. And then it goes through a series of risk reviews, one by privacy for not only privacy contractual terms, but what type of data, you know, are they getting? How are they keeping it secure? We really work with the security team to understand their risk assessment, because many times their risk assessment will inform how I view contracting from a privacy standpoint. So if the outside party's risk posture isn't up to where we might like it to be, and the security team has hesitations about that and they explain that to me, then we would go back and make sure that we would try to solve for that with the business, with the vendor, in privacy terms, in legal terms, before we start to move forward. Other ways that we engage with the security team and privacy are certainly education and the normal things, education and training. We like to, as much as we can, put metrics together, joint presentations with our board of directors so that they understand, our senior leadership, so they understand that we're not competing against each other. We're not the same either, that we're complementary departments.
Finally, Karen, what else are you kind of keeping your eyes on in terms of the health data privacy regulatory landscape?
Yeah, so I think there's two main things for me. The first I've mentioned very briefly early on, which is the update to HIPAA privacy rules related to reproductive health care services. So that has been updated in such a way that there are certain forthcoming prohibited disclosures related to reproductive health services. So we need to make sure we figure out what are our policies, processes, our notice of privacy practices, so we can inform patients what those prohibited disclosures look like, and then ones that are allowable, how we can do that in a compliant manner with the new regulation. So that's one area that's really top of mind right now. And then the second area, as cliche as it is AI. It's really hard to get by without mentioning AI. And so I think it's really important for there to be good governance. Everybody seems to say the same things, but we do live this at University of Chicago Medicine. So in privacy, we have an acceptable use policy for AI when we're developing our own model, AI models, and when we're engaging with third parties who are vendors selling us either a product that has an AI component or just a full-on artificial intelligence product. And so in those ways, really understanding what the use case is and how we can minimize the amount of data that we're handing over so that we can protect our patients and protect their privacy and protect their data. Because I think these things are important. In my mind, I'm very pro AI. I think it's going to be a game changer in healthcare in terms of how we clinically take care of patients. And so I think those are the very positive things that come out of it. But with that comes great responsibility to protect our patients from things that they may not understand. And quite frankly, I'm not sure everyone in the business understands it yet either. So it's incumbent upon us in privacy and security to take it one step further and be the ones to understand what those implications are.
Well, thank you so much, Karen. I've been speaking to Karen Habercross. I'm Mary Ann Kolbasek-McGee of Information Security Media Group. Thanks for joining us.